It's the biggest regret of my life, Lemon. And I once made love to Kathy Hilton.
Do you want a hug?
What is this, the Italian Parliament? No, thank you.
Well, hello and welcome, everyone.
Okay.
Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 86.
Woo!
In what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series, I'm your host, Aaron Roden.
Nobody beats me in the kitchen.
And, of course, this is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Boom, indeed. Thank you for joining this week. We've got a great show planned for you. Mr. Tomo Nakayama, lead singer songwriter from the band Grand Hallway, will be joining us shortly. We've played their music before on this show, and finally got around to having him on, and it's a fantastic conversation. And I think from now on, whenever I have an issue, I think I'm going to give Tomo a call, and we're just gonna talk this out, man. Because I want him as my personal therapist. And I think it'll work out. He's not trained in therapy. He's not a psychiatrist. But when you spend that much time in a tour van, you have a lot of practice talking out your problems with other people. So, yeah. Anyway, we'll get to that shortly. We've also got a message from Stephen Kopfer from Long Island, New York, that we'll go over. He had some good things to say about Battlestar Galactica, so we'll get to that too. And of course, we're going to talk really quick before we get to all that stuff. I wanted to talk really quick about my week because it has been. It's been interesting, to say the least. I want to tell you guys about this, because it has been the beginning of this week. Was a little scary for me, and I guess I should just start. I should just go right into it, shouldn't I? Why not? Why take up my time doing that? Bouncing around the subject here. So, last weekend, took my cousins out to go see the Star Wars movie Episode I out in theaters because it's been re-released in 3D, and I took them out to go see this movie. Forgot how long it was. Forgot how terrible it was. Holy crap, man! Was that such a letdown? What a letdown of a movie. But anyway, we're sitting in the theater, and my rear end really starts to hurt, like to the point where I couldn't get comfortable, and it was hurting so bad that it was making me feel nauseous. It was literally making me feel nauseous. I think everybody out there has fallen on their butt, at some point in their life, and then felt like they needed to throw up, right? You hit your tailbone, that cluster of nerve endings goes wild, and you feel like you're going to puke. Well, that's what I felt like just sitting there. I couldn't remember doing anything. I couldn't remember damaging my butt at all. But we finished the movie. I had to get up and walk around for a little while. We finished the movie and took my cousins home, and I went home. The next day, I could barely move. I couldn't get out of bed very easily. I had some trouble walking around. Luckily, I had Monday off of work for the President's Day holiday. It just kind of progressively got a little bit worse. So on Tuesday, I skipped out on work and went to the doctor because it was so bad. I was having a lot of trouble. I couldn't move. My wife had to help me. Mairead, my beautiful wife, had to help me, do everything. It was ridiculous. I couldn't get out of bed. She had to pick me up out of bed. It was just inexplicable, and it hurt so bad. So we go to the go to the doctor. The doctor runs some tests, touches me in my buttocks, which was a little bit uncomfortable, in more ways than one. But so he sends me in to get an X-ray because they're thinking, well, maybe you cracked your tailbone somehow or dislocated it or something like that. So we go into the X-rays. He brings, you know, I come back out and the X-rays come out and he starts looking at those and he's a little bit confused. So they send me back in to get more X-rays. All in all, I take about, I don't know, 20, 25 X-rays and come back out. And the doctor explains to me that there's a cloudy mass on my tailbone, on my coccyx, which is not normal and is usually an indicator of bone cancer or a tumor. So they do some blood work. By this time, my mind is swimming, but I'm looking at the positive. I'm like, there's no way. There's no way that this can possibly be cancer. I go home, get some good meds going, you know. I'm quite a bit out of it. And just kind of lay around for the rest of the day. Can't really move. It still hurts very badly. And all the while, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking about this possibility of this being bone cancer. And if you've ever had this experience where, you come close to, or you feel that you're coming close to, possibly death. A lot of things go through your mind, right? You start thinking about your friends. You start thinking about your family. You think a lot about your close family. I, for one, thought about my child and my wife and what would happen if I were to leave and how all of a sudden things started getting real, right? And I laid there for a little bit watching Battlestar Galactica episodes, not really paying attention, and thinking, you know, how I really do want to see my child grow up. And if this passes, I'm going to make a change in my life, right? I'm going to make all these changes. And I start praying to whatever is out there in the cosmos that if he lets me through this, he or she lets me through this, that I'm going to make some major changes in my life. Well, the next day comes around. I get my blood work back. It's not bone cancer. Thank God, right? And I didn't tell anybody. I didn't tell Mairead. I didn't want her to worry. But I did tell her after the fact, and she got a little bit angry with me. Yeah, it turned out okay. So the rest of the week went by, you know, without much to do. Still in the back of my mind, still thinking about those promises that I made to the cosmos about how I was going to make a change. And then yesterday, I went out with some friends, drank way too much, ate a pizza, stopped off at Jack in the Box at 2 o'clock in the morning. Got myself some sourdough breakfast sandwiches and a bag of Cheetos. Change achieved. Change achieved.
No, Kelly Clarkson!
But it is a weird feeling, staring at your mortality, right? It's a strange thing. And for a couple days there, I experienced that. And I gotta say, I don't want to experience that again for a long time. So maybe I'll lay off the Cheetos. It was my cheat day. What can I say? What can I say? So there you go. That's what's been going on in my life for the week. Let's look at what Stephen Kopfer from Long Island, New York wrote on our Facebook wall. How's that for a segue into a brighter subject? This concerning last week where I was talking about Battlestar Galactica and my newfound addiction. He says the Portlandia Battlestar Galactica bit is classic. Great choice. My wife and I marathoned the entire series like that. I hope you guys did not lose your jobs over this, Stephen. And he also puts in here, by the way, Caprica was good. That's the kind of the spin-off series there. Had potential, but was cut short too soon. So I will check that out, and thank you very much, Stephen, for writing us. And you can do the same, of course. You can email me, Aaron, at air-raid.net, or go to our Facebook page at air-raid.net, or follow us on Twitter. You can do all this stuff. And please, go to the iTunes page. And leave us a little review. If you use iTunes, leave us a star rating. You can also find us on Stitcher and all that good stuff. A couple things coming up that I want to get to really quick. I'm going to be on the Stack of Dimes podcast this week, so you can check that out with JD and Thunder. Also going to be on another podcast here in Seattle. I believe that it's airing this week, called Delicious Mediocrity. It's a great, great show hosted by two very funny comedians here in the Seattle area, so you should check that out, Delicious Mediocrity. Also, one last thing. I'm sorry. This is going to be it. I am also now officially on the radio show The Buzz on AM 570 here in the Seattle area. Every Thursday at 1:30, you can hear me talk about upcoming comedy shows and upcoming music shows here in Seattle. So if you do live around these parts, you can check that out. Or you can stream it online. Just go to, just type into Google. I don't know the web address. Let's see, KVI 570 or AM 570 Smart Talk. Type that in. And you can stream it right from the website. So check that out. We're going to go today, let's see, first musical break, and then we'll get to our interview with Tomo Nakayama of the Grand Hallway. Jeez, wow, slip of the mind there. Music break number one. This is Blessed Be Honeybee from the album Promenade from 2009. And we'll be right back with Tomo. Talking about the band, talking about touring, talking about his life and how it's shaping up. We'll be back in a moment, everybody. This is Blessed Be Honeybee. Enjoy. See you in a moment. All right, we are back. Welcome back to the Air Raid Podcast. And joining me here in Dining Room Studios is Tomo Nakayama, the singer, songwriter, guitar player, drummer, piano player for the band Grand Hallway, which you just heard. Blessed Be Honeybee off of their 2009 album Promenade, which is very good. This song has been stuck in my head for 3 years now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So thank you so much. So how you doing, Tomo? Thank you for coming by.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Yeah, and yeah. We just found out that you live basically right up the street.
Yeah, just
close to my one of my favorite bars.
Mm-hmm. The Rickshaw.
Yeah. One of the best karaoke bars in mm-hmm. Seattle. Do you ever go sing a little Roki?
Yeah. Been going on Wednesdays.
Usually. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
down to the Rickshaw.
Yeah.
Nice. It seems like the Rickshaw is like the place where, and this is I don't know. I've been to a lot of better karaoke bars now, but when I first moved into the area, I don't know, maybe back in like 2006 or something like that, uh-huh. it was like the first time I went to the Rickshaw, it was like where the professionals went. Is it still that way? Because I haven't been there for a couple years.
No, it seems like there's a good mix, you know?
Yeah.
It does get pretty gnarly on the weeknights, you know?
When the regulars come out. Especially the guy that always wears he wears like the cowboy hat and the sunglasses inside. He's always reading a book. You've probably seen this dude. Maybe we should go there together sometime and I'll point him out to you.
Yeah.
Because it's probably the same people that have been going there for years and years.
Probably. Yeah.
I always remember this guy. He would always sing like, I think it was always Johnny Cash tunes.
Mm-hmm.
And he would just, he always had a leather jacket on. It was one of those kind of shitty leather jackets that he probably got at Ross. Or something like that, you know? And then this cowboy hat and dark sunglasses, and he was always wearing sunglasses and reading a book. And then he'd get called up, he'd go sing a song, he'd come back to the bar and he'd read his book.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But he was really good. He was really good, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, I've been writing lyrics there lately.
Really? Really? Yeah, so you're becoming one of the regulars,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Oh shit, you got to be careful with that, dude. You're not eating there, are you?
I try not to, but on Wednesdays they have the cheapskate night, where it's just like $2.99 for a little plate of like Mongolian beef or something.
Oh.
Yeah, that's at the very end.
Well, at least it's the Chinese food, because like as I was explaining to you off air or off fake air, we went up there for breakfast one night because they were touting that they had this like, or not one night. Breakfast one morning on like a Saturday because they were touting that they had this like big Bloody Mary bar.
Oh yeah.
Well, all they the only like Bloody Mary bar they had was behind the bar. You had to, you know, order your Bloody Mary how you like it or something like that. But then we got breakfast and like all the eggs and everything tasted like wontons.
Yikes.
It was bad. They were using the same grease. It was horrible. Yeah, so are you singing karaoke, or are you just going there to write lyrics?
Oh, yeah, I sing once in a while.
Yeah.
I tried to do Whitney Houston the other day.
Oh, boy.
But it was just like, I'd had one too many, I think. And it wasn't good.
Well, see, you got you kind of have the range for that. You know?
Sometimes.
Yeah. When you haven't been drinking too much,
yeah,
I guess, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What Whitney Houston song were you trying to sing?
Well, you know, I Will Always Love You.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. The go-to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trying to pay tribute, but
right.
Yeah.
You know what? I had never known until she died. This came out. It's been out obviously, but I never knew it that was a Dolly Parton song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dolly Parton wrote that song.
Yeah.
So man, she's probably raking in the cash right now.
Oh well. Yeah.
Jeez.
I don't think she needed it
before
that.
No.
She's got plenty of songs.
No, she's been living off like the Playboy residuals, right? Yeah.
Yeah. No, I love Dolly Parton, actually. That song was
from... That was a bad joke. That was terrible. Yeah.
No, that song was from a movie with Burt Reynolds, I think. I can't remember what it was called, but yeah, the original's beautiful too. It's a
really?
Great song. Yeah,
really? That's
yeah.
from a movie soundtrack?
Uh-huh.
She wrote that for a movie soundtrack?
Oh, wow. I don't know if she wrote it for it, but
was she in more movies? She must have been in a lot of movies with Burt Reynolds, right?
I'm not sure.
I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah.
I usually don't do this because it makes so much noise. But
yeah. I watched one the other day called 9 to 5.
Oh yeah,
really
well that's what I was gonna say, was it 9 to 5? But
yeah, I don't know I don't think Burt Reynolds was in that, but
huh.
Yeah, a talented lady. See.
The best little whorehouse in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Wow! I'm gonna have to see that one.
Yeah.
Is it rated R? I hope so. So you said you're going to this bar up the street. You're working on new lyrics. Obviously, according to your website, you guys are working on a new album. Correct?
Yeah. Very early stages. I'm just writing songs. I actually have an event coming up in March at the Richard Hugo House. And commissioned to write some songs for their literary series called End of the Line. Uh-huh. And they just like they give you a theme, which for this is End of the Line, and you're supposed to write three songs about it. And I'm the only songwriter. The others are like poets and novelists.
It's up to interpretation, obviously.
Right. So yeah, I've been working on it for 6 months or something, but it just wasn't clicking, you know, until pretty recently. So
that seems like it could be a pretty depressing subject.
Well, yeah, it just depends on how you approach it, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, because like the most obvious way to go would just be to like take it really literally and like just write about endings and stuff, you know.
But
I just kind of did that with our last record, which is all about like death and rebirth and stuff like that. So I was just kind of like burnt out in that direction, you know. So I was trying to think.
How are you spinning this one then?
I've kind of come around, I think. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just trying to like write more generally, I guess. I don't know. It'll happen.
So basically, this is it, like you said, this is the very beginning stages then.
For the Grand Hallway record. Yeah. We're taking a little break. We've just been like playing nonstop since we put out Promenade back in like 2009, you know, and then we toured a bunch for that and had some lineup changes, but we basically been playing, you know, nonstop for 2 years, so it was just time to kind of step back a little bit and kind of
take a breather, so to
speak. explore other modes of expression.
Now was this your kind of your first project that did something this big?
Yeah,
because once Promenade came out, Blessed Be Honeybee, which we just played, was a very popular song around these parts. Anyway, I can't speak for the rest of the country, can I?
We had a couple songs that did well off that record, but it's hard to tell these days, you know, like what is a hit or whatever, you know what I mean? Just like, I don't know.
Once you start hearing, I guess where I'm going with this is like, you know, if this was kind of your first band project that was doing anything like, oh, you know, people are recognizing this song now that's being played on the radio, let's go on tour. You know, once you start hitting that stage, I guess, what did that feel like for you guys? Was it exciting time, or was it kind of all blurry?
Yeah, well, when you're doing it, you know, you're not really paying attention to like, I don't know. There was like never one moment where you're just like, oh, I've arrived or something. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just like you're too busy just working. So it's just that's part of the problem. You know, you just get so busy that you kind of forget to just enjoy playing music and just like being out there, you know, playing music with each other, and
that's kind of a common thread with a lot of the musicians that come on this show too. And because this is kind of, I don't know, this is kind of one of my stock questions, because it's always something that I'm very interested in, you know, finding out what the feeling is behind, you know, getting a song on the radio or being able to go out on tour and have people recognize your name or come out to your shows, you know, in a different city or something like that. And it's kind of a common thread where it's like, well, you know, it becomes work.
Yeah, well...
Which it is, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's you realize, you know, like there's a lot of steps you have to take to like make tours happen and make radio happen, and I don't know.
You have to be on top of it, right?
Yeah, and a lot of stuff that doesn't really have anything to do with music itself, you know, and like.
So you become your own marketing manager, basically, right?
Yeah, and we don't really have a label. I mean, we have these guys, Porchlight Records, that re-released Promenade on vinyl, and they put out Winter Creatures.
Oh, that's cool.
And yeah, they've been really supportive. But for the most part,
are they local here in
Seattle?
Yeah,
yeah. They're just up in Capitol Hill.
Oh, okay.
And it's mostly just one guy, Zach. But yeah, they've been really helpful. But for the most part, you know, we've done all their booking and all their promoting and whatnot. So, you know, it's just, yeah, it's hard to tell, like, how the rest of the scene perceives us or whatever, you know what I mean? Because I'm just, like, just thinking about... like what to write next or where to play or you know what I mean?
Yeah. Is this what you do? Is this what you do for your job now? Is music
I still have a part-time job as a barista at Cafe Fiore, which has been really fun.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But before that I worked at the Neptune Theater when it was a movie theater.
Right. Right.
Which was like the perfect job, you know, for a musician. Cause it was a single screen theater, so you would like work for 20 minutes, you know, selling tickets and popcorn and whatever, and then you just sit on your ass for 2 hours while the movie's playing. So actually, our first record, I did all of our orchestrations and arrangements and stuff at the theater, just on a tiny little Casio keyboard.
Really?
Just sitting on the floor, yeah, and there's a lot of downtime where you can... just sit around and get depressed about your life and just like write that down, you know?
Yeah,
so like, it was really inspiring in a way because you're kind of trapped and you have nothing else to do, you know?
Right. It kind of forces you into it, right?
Yeah. And it's been weird to like not have that, like to actually be somewhat more secure in life and just like and be happy. You know, because then that that itself becomes a distraction or like a wall between you and actually like needing to create, you know?
Right, right. Well, that's what I always felt too when I wasn't like when I was in a really good mood for a long stint, I wouldn't write any music. For a long time.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like depression is a key to like great songs. That's why like people hooked on heroin write such great music, it seems like.
Well, no,
let's not go that far, maybe. Yeah.
No, I don't think people on heroin do too much in general.
But yeah.
No, I mean I think when you're young and you just don't really know where you're going, or like when you're not accountable to anyone but yourself, then like there's just a lot of time to just focus on what you're doing, you know what I mean? But like when you have other responsibilities, then you actually have to make time to create, you know, which is weird, but you know, it's just something you got to get used to.
Totally.
It's the same way with like relationships and friendships and stuff, you know, the older you get, you know, you have kids or whatever, and then it becomes, you actually have to schedule time to like, you know, have dinner with people or whatever, and it's kind of weird. You know, when I lived in a house with like six other guys, there was always people around, so it's just
right,
like,
and you're always hanging out
with
somebody
was really natural, you know, and like that was kind of when what I was going through during Promenade, you know, it was just like a lot of hang time with my bros, you know, and so a lot of the music just happened really naturally where we were just like, we were just hanging out and we'd go in the basement and be like, oh, do you want to work on this song or whatever? And it just would come out, you know?
Yeah. But now, and you had all the time in the world. You could stay up until 1 o'clock in the morning and not have to worry about it.
Or five.
Or five.
Or, whatever. you know.
Yeah, yeah. But that's definitely. I'm sure you see my little like baby Jungle Gym over
mm-hmm.
there.
Yeah, that's awesome. How old's your baby?
My baby is now 10 months old.
Oh, cool.
And that's definitely like I really appreciate what you just said because uh-huh. when you're getting old, because you and I are the same age. You were born in 1980, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
uh-huh.
me too.
Cool.
And, you know, once you start getting older and you, especially when you start like, you know, you have this family unit now, you know, it is. You gotta schedule everything. Everything mm-hmm. is scheduled.
Yeah.
And like you gotta tell people like, oh, I'm sorry, you can't. You should have called me earlier this week so we could align this
right.
up
yeah,
or something
yeah.
like that. It's you know your spontaneity, mm-hmm. your ability to be spontaneous is like you know cut in I don't know maybe down to 1/4. Mm-hmm. of what you were able to do, what you used to be able to do.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just a crazy thing. We've been going through that a lot lately because, you know, of the kid and,
right.
and you know, feeling like we aren't, because we were very, very social creatures,
uh-huh.
you know, my wife and I.
Yeah.
And always had something going on and always had somebody over, going over to somebody's place. And now getting used to that where you're just hanging out with each other. And waiting for that point where the kid goes to sleep at 7:30, mm-hmm. you know, is it's different.
Yeah,
it's different. It's not bad.
No,
but it's definitely different. It takes a lot of getting used to it.
Yeah,
too.
And if you're a creative person, you know, it makes you really look at how much you really need to create. You know,
mm-hmm.
like
mm-hmm.
like. If you're going to do it, then you got to do it. You
right,
know?
Right. Like, yeah. Yeah.
And so it weeds out the pretenders from like the you know what I mean?
It does. Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah, like, I totally get that.
Yeah,
I totally get that.
And I respect people like, you know, like people who've been around forever, like Damien Girardeau and like,
right,
you know,
right.
Dave Bazan and stuff that uh-huh. are still making great music and they have families as well, you know, and
uh-huh.
it's just like, it's awesome. I think it just shows.
Well, they found that balance, right?
Yeah.
They must have found that balance.
Yeah.
And of where they can do that. They can put time into their music still
mm-hmm.
and also be, you know, a homebody as well for their family.
Right. Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a hard balance.
Yeah.
But,
or their wives are just super cool.
That helps, yeah.
Yeah, right?
But, you know, if you're dedicated to something, if you're compelled, if you're driven to do what you do, then, you know, it's just going to there's no way around not doing, you know what I mean? You just got to do it and yeah, I'm happy that I'm in like a really good relationship and I'm getting married this summer. But
oh, congratulations!
Thank
man.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I still feel the need to create, you know.
Yeah,
and I feel
yeah.
like I got more to say, which you know I was kind of afraid of when I was younger. Like if I, you know, it's like that cliche. Like if you are happy, then you know you start. Wondering if you're going to stop making great art or whatever,
yeah,
you know,
because yeah.
we all have this idea that, you know, artists are supposed to be tortured and just like sad all the time, drugged
uh-huh,
out or
uh-huh.
whatever. And it's just not the case.
Yeah.
You know, I think it what you have to say changes, you know, but like, but, yeah, if you're really dedicated to your craft, then, you know, I mean, it's weird that music is, especially, is considered a young person's game or whatever, mm-hmm. and it's not.
Well, it is because there's so many great artists out there that are really quite old.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Yeah. Tom Waits is still going.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And like, yeah, that dude's.
God, look at Sonic Youth. They've
yeah,
been they've
mm-hmm.
been putting records out since what 1977?
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah.
And, well, I don't know if they're even still together.
No, they just got divorced last
year,
which is sad. But,
yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm life never stops, and you know, you are who you are, you know, and
right.
that doesn't
right.
change. So, yeah, and with like other disciplines, you know, like writing or you know, visual arts, there's no real like restriction on age that
yeah.
much. You know what
yeah.
I mean? I feel like people get better the older they get, and like, it's when you stop trying. You know, is when
yeah.
people start making bad art, but I don't think I've reached that point yet, you
yeah.
know, so.
Well, I hope not, man, and I look forward to hearing the new record whenever it comes out. I mean,
oh,
you've
thanks.
Got, because when I first heard Promenade
mm-hmm.
in 2009, I totally fell in love with it,
oh.
and like, and I'm not trying to kiss your butt here, but I'm going to a little bit. And then I went back and, you know, and purchased Yes Is the Answer
mm-hmm.
From 2007, which we'll hear a little bit later in the show. And then Winter Creatures came out, and I've been a huge fan of all your stuff. So
cool.
I'm
Thank
really,
you.
Really looking forward to hearing the new album.
Thanks.
And let's just hope that it's not too depressing.
Oh, right? No, I don't think it'll be. Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. Well, I think this is a great spot to take our second musical break. We're going to go with something off of Winter Creatures from 2011, the latest album that is available from Grand Hallway. And you can find their stuff at the official Grand Hallway website at grandhallway.com, and you can purchase all the music from there, right?
Yes.
And does that give it? That gives you guys a bigger cut, right?
Of
that. So do that rather than going to iTunes or something
yes,
like
give
that.
Give us
right?
all your money.
Right. But then go to iTunes and then rate their stuff on iTunes, even though you didn't buy it there. That's how it should work. That's how it should work. This is Wildfire by Grand Hallway, and we will be back in just a moment with more from Tomo Nakayama from the band. All right. We'll see you in a moment. We were back. That was Wildfire off of the album Winter Creatures from 2011 from the fantastic band Grand Hallway and from the fantastic mind of Mr. Tomo Nakayama. And he is sitting here with me
right now.
Hello.
In beautiful, gorgeous dining room studios. High atop Greenwood Avenue, or the Greenwood neighborhood here in North Seattle. I'm getting a little tipsy. I'm having a little whiskey. So, like I said right before we started recording again, I get a little long in the tooth sometimes. Yeah, yeah. So you can just shut me down.
It's all good.
But welcome back, everybody. And once again, thank you, Tomo, for joining me today. I know you are a busy man. You've got a lot in the hopper right now. We were talking a little bit about, before we went to that last break, that you are working on a new album for Grand Hallway, or just the beginning stages. But now you just finished up doing some recording with Sarah Cahoon.
Yeah.
Out at Bear Creek Studios. How did that go?
Oh, it was fun. Yeah, she asked me to play on a few songs that she's recording with this guy Tom Monahan.
Mm-hmm.
He did the last Fruit Bats and Vetiver records.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, he's a great producer. And what I've heard so far sounds great. There's like strings on it and stuff. And
yeah,
Her songs are just always solid, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, I got to play their big Steinway.
I saw that picture on your Facebook page.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I mean, you're a man of many talents here. Because it says, let's see, I looked up your Wikipedia page today. Did you know you have a Wikipedia page?
No.
The band does.
Yeah, I know.
And it says here that that you played, let's see, was it for Promenade that you played like the drums?
Oh, that was Winter Creatures.
Oh, yeah. Winter Creatures. Yeah. You played drums for Winter Creatures. You play piano on Sarah Cahoon's. And obviously you orchestrated all of Promenade on a Casio. Right?
Yes is the answer.
Oh, yes is the answer.
Yeah,
okay.
For Promenade, we all collaborated on that.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
See, once I have a little bit of whiskey in me, I stop listening as well. So that's...
No, that's all right. Yeah.
Half of the show is where things get shitty.
Yeah. I'm not really, like, classically trained or anything, mm-hmm. you know, but I've kind of picked random stuff up over the years as I've needed it, you know?
Right,
like,
right.
Like I took one quarter of music theory at UW right before we did our first record just because mm-hmm. I wanted to learn how to be able to write parts down, you know?
Right, right. Yeah.
But, like, yeah, I don't know. I feel like a, what's it called? Jack of all trades or whatever. Master of none.
Though. Master of none.
Yeah, because I just as soon as I am through using those skills, I kind of tend to forget it, you know, which is a really bad habit. But yeah,
I went through a period of my life where I was learning stuff, you know, to get by. There for a little while and then kind of forgetting it if you don't use it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
If you're not using it on a daily basis, especially like math or like you're saying, like learning like some sort of music theory where you can write down, you can do notation and everything like that for a string section or something. I don't even know if that's the right word for it, but
yeah.
Yeah, you forget that stuff really easily.
Yeah, and you know, you just got to relearn it when you use it again, I guess. But.
So before every record, have you relearned this stuff?
I've relearned.
Is that why it's been 2 years between each record?
No. Yeah, the gaps have been more just because of needing to like play out and promote records, you know, which is like it's kind of a bummer. Like I wish we didn't have to play out so much. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Do you get tired? You get tired of it?
Well, I mean, like, if you look at the Beatles, they put out a record, like, early on in their career, they put out a record every 6 months or something. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just how bands worked back in the day.
Right.
But
right.
Now there's so much, like, preparation that goes in between recording an album and then doing the artwork and then doing the necessary like promo before it comes out and then doing all the promo after the record comes out, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just like it just takes forever and then
well not having the benefit of having a label backing you doing this stuff too is kind of add to that
yeah
that timeline.
But now with the internet, you know, I feel like it's circling back around where, you know, if you've got a record done, then you can just put it up that same day, you know.
That's true. But the cost of just the cost of going to a good solid studio though.
Yeah. Or you can record it at home, you know.
Yeah, so, yeah, true. Yeah, true.
Yeah.
True.
So that may be the route that we're gonna go for the next one where we just don't really like do too much promotion, just put it right out there, you know.
Yeah. And, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like the industry is totally like it's chaos right now, you know.
Yeah, it's it like, is. It's definitely in flux.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
You know, but it's a good opportunity for people, I think, you know. Mm-hmm. And if you find a clever way of using it, then it's you know, you can really use it to your advantage.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that the musical landscape might be a little bit oversaturated though with this, like the use of Facebook and Bandcamp and for lack of a better social media networking site, MySpace?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, because there is it's become very easy for, you know, garage type bands to just come out and put their stuff, you know, record on a 4-track and put this stuff out on the internet. Yeah. And do you think that this has made it harder for people to find good stuff a little bit, or has it made it easier?
Yeah, there's just so much out there, you know.
Yeah, that like there's a lot of stuff you have to sift through nowadays to find the gem.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of how I find new music, you know. Like I feel like I've kind of actually gone back more to like actually talking to people, you know,
and seeing getting their recommendations, like
just because there's so much, you know, just like on the internet that you just don't know who to trust. So you just go down to the record store or whatever, and you're like, "Hey, what's good?" You know,
and note to some people out there who feel that it's still a great idea just to post your band's page on somebody else's wall on Facebook. It doesn't work, man.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. Unless you have some sort of name recognition behind you, it's not going to work out for you. I'm just going to delete that shit.
Can't hurt.
Please stop. Please stop doing that on my Air Raid Facebook wall.
Does that happen a lot?
A lot.
Like, check us out.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, it's I feel for younger bands, it's hard to know where to start.
Right. These days, you know. Well, and given and see, that's why I was asking, because I was definitely one of those people back when I was playing with a band here in Seattle too, because it's super super hard to get into that. I don't know what you want to call it, like the rotation of bands that are able to, you know, get shows in town, you know, on a good night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anybody can get a show on a Tuesday at 1 o'clock in the morning at the Comet.
Yeah, but that's where you start, you know.
And right. You gotta. It's kind of like paying dues.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
We play tons of Tuesday night shows. You know, at the Old Crocodile. That's all we did was Tuesday nights. You know.
And,
And then we played a bunch of shows at the Mars Bar and like
the Mars Bar, know that
Comet,
place well.
Sunset, you know, which is all great. You just got to build your own community, you know, and not try to like hop on anybody else's thing. You know what
I
mean?
Right.
And like,
I
was lucky enough to like, you know, have a group of friends that I enjoyed playing music with, and like, you know, I was friends with the Maldives pretty early on.
Right, and you were always the guy that I saw climbing up on the stage and playing the tambourine.
Oh, yeah,
Another instrument that Tomo plays, the tambourine.
No, that just came out of we were playing a show at the Mars Bar, actually, and, like, you know, I heard a tambourine part and nobody was playing it, and so I just jumped up there and I just started playing. And it didn't matter because it was the Mars Bar, you know?
Right. There was, like, 6 people there.
Yeah, well, you know, it was, like, 25.
Oh, okay. All right.
Dude. But, you know, and so you just play with, like, people that you enjoy hanging out with and who respect you back, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
it's totally.
Like, you don't have to like wait for other people's approval to do what you want to do, you know?
Yeah.
And, like,
yeah.
eventually, like I, you know, it took a long while for us to even get steady shows, you know, just when we were starting out. And then I
when did you guys, what year did you guys, what year did you guys start?
2000, it was, like, the end of 2006, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just like a trio back then, you know? And then we just kind of slowly started getting members just from other bands and just from hanging out, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We got a couple violin players and a pedal steel player and just like... And it wasn't that we were like looking for members, you know? It just kind of happened.
Just kind of grew and grew.
Yeah. And it was fun, you know? And then
then
we weren't really thinking about, you know, how we were gonna like how we were gonna get huge or whatever.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? And then and then Promenade just I just wanted to make the best record that we could make, you know? And like we weren't really worried too much about how it was gonna be received or anything. And so it was really a surprise when we sent it to KXP and they just started playing it right away, and it was like it was cool.
Yeah, yeah.
But then,
and what was that feeling for you, like when you first heard it on the radio?
It was it took a long time before I actually heard it on the radio. Like I would get texts from friends that are like,
mm-hmm.
I was like, they're playing you on the radio right now, and like,
yeah.
Cool, I'm at work, I can't hear it. But like, yeah, it was a three or four weeks after they added it to the rotation that I actually heard it on the radio, you mm-hmm. know, and it was mm-hmm. it was cool. It felt good, you know. But also kind of weird, like why are they playing this shit on on a, do you mind if I cuss?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
You can cuss all you all want. Right.
I hope that anyway, what was I saying? Sorry, I'm just used to being around kids all the time now. So
yeah.
Anyway,
I'm trying to get better at it myself. I'm holding back. Yeah. I am definitely holding back.
You know, and when you start playing bigger shows or whatever, mm-hmm. what happens is like, then everybody wants you to play a show with them, you know?
Right. Like bands kind of come out of the is that what you're saying?
Yeah,
like
smaller bands come and then
hey, play a show with us or something.
Yeah, and we did a lot of benefits, you know, just because we said
for free.
Yeah, we just said yes to everything just because we wanted to help out, you know?
But then after
a while, you realize you start really thinning out your fan base just because you're playing out all the time, you know? And then the same people that were asking you to play in the first place start getting mad that you're playing so many shows, you know what I mean? So it's just like, you can't really please everybody, you know? So
Yeah,
I just got to start being a little more selective, I guess. Sorry, I'm just kind of rambling.
No, not at all. So you were saying too that you kind of as the years kind of went by, you guys started picking up more and more musicians to be in the core group of the band. So mm-hmm. how many people do you have now? How many people are there?
Now we have
he has to think about it right now too. Look at that.
Now we have six.
You have six people in the band. So how does that dynamic work out on tour? Everybody go on tour?
No, our last couple tours have just been as a four-piece.
Oh, okay. Which so is, without what the string, section, gotcha.
Because they have full-time jobs, you know, mm-hmm. and which is it's cool. It's a lot easier to tour with fewer people.
Oh yeah, you know, just
to keep track of everyone and just like
right.
There's fewer, you know, just. Oh, there's more room in the van, which really helps, you know.
People.
Yeah, I mean, we did one tour where we drove all the way down to Texas with nine people in the van.
Mm-hmm. Like, was that for like South by Southwest?
Yeah, some of us lost our minds because it was just like so cramped, you know, and you're just like sitting there and like The first time we did that was really fun. It was a tour in December, which is never a good idea, you know. But, like, we got stuck in a snowstorm in Flagstaff, Arizona, of all places, which I didn't know was like a ski town, you know. But I was picturing like Arizona, so it's like
desert, yeah. The red rock formations and everything. Yeah.
But yeah, we had to drive through, like, I think it ended up being like 15 inches of snow or something.
Oh my God.
And so we were just going like 5 miles an hour and just getting passed by semis, you know, and every time they'd pass us, they'd blow a bunch of snow.
That's the worst. That's like the scariest, scariest, like, white knuckle driving that I've ever done. Because I used to work up on Snoqualmie Pass as a lift operator.
Uh-huh.
And you get off work and it'd be dark.
Yeah.
You have to drive home back to Ellensburg because that's where I was going to college at the time and living. And that was just the worst. Every time a semi came by, I would curse their names.
Yeah.
Like, get on it. Put your thing on a train, assholes.
And then when we drove back from, and then on that same tour, when we drove back from California, there's like an ice storm all the way from Redding up to Portland.
Wow.
So it took us like I think it was like 14 hours to get from Redding to Portland. It was just a really long drive, you know, which was kind of fun in a way, you know. It was a good
bonding time.
Good bonding time, yeah, because everybody's terrified and just like...
Yeah, I thought you were going to die, so you're just bearing your soul to everybody in the van.
Yeah, but at the same time, we were watching The Office on my laptop, you know, and just... it's just this weird mixture of extreme boredom and fear, you know?
See, I'm thinking that, like, technology these days, especially with, like, smartphones and being able to plug things into your car to keep them charged, like laptops, has got to make touring for smaller bands bearable.
Yeah. I don't even know how people did it before, you know?
Like, we were talking to the Lonely Forest a while back, and they hook up a bunch of, like they have like a Nintendo 64 and a PlayStation and all sorts of stuff in their van that they plug in.
And I remember the first tour that I did with my old band, which is called Asahi, and that was like in 2002, 10 years ago. We, you know, we did like a West Coast tour, and it was our first, you know, band for all of us, so we were super excited. Yeah. And we got like a TV, you know, a little 13-inch TV, and we taped it into the middle
duct
of,
tape
of the van. Yeah,
nice.
And we set up a Super Nintendo, and it was
very cool,
very ghetto. But
you have a little F-Zero in there.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Ken Griffey baseball.
Wonderful.
But just like little stuff, like, you know, just navigation, you know, is so different now with iPhones and GPS and stuff. It's, there's no arguing for the most part, you know, when you're trying to get places. But before that, we would have to like print out directions on a MapQuest or whatever.
For each leg of the tour.
Yeah. And so if you deviated from that in any way, you know, there'd just be chaos. You just
I imagine that would start a big fight.
Six people trying to look at the map at the same time and then, like, you know, figuring out where you are.
It's
just like,
oh man.
Yeah.
Well, you've definitely like you've died down my dream of having, you know, of ever going on tour.
Oh man.
Now it just sounds terrible. Yeah.
No, it's really fun.
As long as you have a TV taped to the console, you'll make it through, right?
Just experiencing so many different cities in a short span of time, I went on one in last November with Gold Leaves, who we did like a month long tour with A.A. Bondi, and you know, got to visit like the South, which I'd never like experienced in my life. You know, yeah, I'd always been like terrified of the South. You hear about the South and you just picture just like Klansmen running around just like lynching people or whatever.
Yeah, I went there. I went to Alabama for my first time. Alabama and Tennessee for my first time ever this summer.
And they were nice. People are nice.
Yeah,
no matter where you go, you know, there's like, I mean, there's assholes anywhere, you know. There's,
right.
Yeah, just go down to like, you know, the shoreline or whatever, you'll find a bunch of assholes. But like, you know, there's like just as many awesome people in Alabama and like Knoxville, Tennessee, you know, and like it was cool, you know, and you can only experience that by going there, you know, in person.
Right.
And like, yeah, touring's really good for that, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to be away from home though, I guess. Like, because you just lose all sense of reality, you know? It's just kind of like going from one place to the next, and there's just like, you don't feel grounded. You
know? Right, it's just like,
you're floating.
Yeah. And then it's weird to come back, right?
Yeah, it takes a while always to readjust to real life, you know? But, yeah.
Do you ever get the urge still to kind of go back out on the road then?
Oh, yeah, all the time. Whenever I'm at work, you know, I'm just like, oh, man, I wish I was in Charlottesville.
I wish I was eating Doritos, Cool Ranch Doritos in a van right now.
Yeah, yeah.
God, that'd be so much better than this. Well, Tomo, thank you so much, man.
Oh, thanks for
it's been a real pleasure talking with you. And hopefully, when this new album is done, we can get you back on and we can... We can hear what you have in store.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Or even if you just have a couple of songs you want to come back on the show.
Oh yeah.
Like I said during the last break, you should be my personal therapist. I think.
Anytime. Yeah. Okay. I'm just down the street.
So. Yeah. Totally. I'm just gonna start knocking on your door.
Yeah.
Hey, is Tomo here?
We'll just meet up at the rickshaw.
There we go. Yeah. There we go.
See what I did there. Full circle.
Full circle, man. Circled back around. Very nice. Bring it right back to the beginning. God, this guy's amazing. All right, we're going to go out today with Minimum Wage off of Grand Hallway's first full-length album, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes is the Answer that came out back in 2007. And let's see. Let's plug your wares here first. Where can we find out more about the band?
Oh, just...
And news...
Yeah,
grand, good stuff.
grandhallway.com is, and we're also on Facebook and Twitter. That's where you can probably find the most recent
news. Yeah, so go and, post your band's upcoming show on their Facebook wall. Yeah.
No, please don't.
And you're on Twitter too. What's the Twitter handle?
It's just Grand Hallway.
At Grand Hallway.
Yeah.
Okay,
and,
perfect.
Yeah, I also have a personal one that, you know, just is more rambly.
Yeah, yeah.
And more interesting,
I guess. We can find out when people, when, like, customers are telling you that you look Anglo-like.
Yeah.
Awesome. So go get on that thread, everybody. All right. Well, thank you once again, Tomo, for coming on the show. And go and definitely, if you haven't checked these guys out yet, please do, because you will be very impressed. And also, you can find us, air-raid.net, and you can email me, aaron@air-raid.net, and also find us on Twitter and Facebook. Just search for us. And our Twitter handle is @airraidnet. So super, super easy, everybody. And soon we will be announcing the new network that we are a part of. It's not up and running yet, but we'll be hopefully making that announcement soon. So anyway, we've got more great stuff coming up for you in the weeks ahead. So please tune in next week. And I'm not gonna say who the guest is, because that always jinxes me, and then they cancel 10 minutes after they're supposed to be here. So we're not gonna do that anymore. We're not gonna go there. This is Minimum Wage by Grand Hallway, and we'll see you next week. Have a good one.
lights to the wind indiscreet, and the moon, that moon, that goddamn moon, still taking up room in the sky.